Come on, are you kidding me? No, nobody's going to be perfected before Jesus Christ comes. No, not us either. That's correct. Because it'll be like the maid cleaning the, or it'll be like cleaning your house before the maid comes. Yeah, that's why the maid is coming, to clean your house. That's right. Jesus is not coming back to congratulate us, but to fix us. Hi, everyone. Martin Zender here. I started a big argument in certain circles here. Like, I've said that the 144,000, when this kingdom, when this tribulation starts, they're not going to be found to be perfect. It's not like God's grooming people. He's keeping them in a sense, but he's not grooming them and perfecting them. And then on the day when he seals the 144,000, which is after the fifth seal, then all of a sudden, then they're just like rising out of nowhere. They're not rising out of nowhere, but neither are they perfect people. Because God is not after perfect people. It does say that they're celibate males, yes. But that doesn't, no, being celibate doesn't mean you're perfect. I don't know about it, no. But, you know, it's just, we're talking about human beings here. And God always gets glory, even in Israel, by using imperfect human beings. That's just how it goes. And it's the same with us. If we expect ourselves to become perfect, some people think this. There's theology out there, very, very poor theology, which says that God is developing his body of people and that they're becoming better and better and that soon he will overtake the world with Christian love and beauty and peace. And it's almost like evolution. It's the damned evolution doctrine, only Christianized, only the fact that instead of going from apes to human beings, we're going from bad human beings and selfish human beings to wonderful, perfect human beings. Then we practically walk on water, we do. And we practically could multiply fish and we can heal. I think the Pentecostal, this is me, I think the Pentecostal movement is trying to perfect this. They're trying to get it so that they can have miracles on demand and they can become so spiritual that they pass on their marvels, their magic powers through their fingertips, put their hands on people. Zing! That's not how it's going to be. God's coming to fix a mess, a mess. You see that with the earth. Or some mess. He's going to blow it up in 3.5 years. Kapow! It's not going to be a gradual reformation. I've been telling you and telling you that. Now apply it to everything else. It's not going to be a gradual reformation with Israel. He's going to take a bunch of losers and he's going to transform them and he's going to seal them and he's going to bring them through the day of indignation. They're going to be a ragtag fugitive fleet. I often think, I used to, of the 144,000 as like they're humming and they're floating on some magnetic field, hovering over the earth. They're not. They're a bunch of losers, just like the rest of us. They just happen to be celibates. And maybe they're celibates because they're such losers that no woman ever wanted them. Yeah, well, I get this idea too that the 144,000 are pure and holy because they've never been with women. We assume they chose never to be with women. They could be guys that were so ugly, such losers with women, they could never get a date. They tried to pick up women all the time at the bars and they used stupid pickup lines. They never got those books that explain to you how to pick up women. And so they're total losers. That's why they're celibates. This is revolutionary, I think. They're not celibates because they've decided that they are going to be pure and holy, and they're only going to think holy thoughts. They're not only celibate in body, but they're celibate in mind. They have never looked at the cover of a Playboy magazine. They have never looked at a scantily clad woman on a billboard. They are pure and holy in all aspects. No, they just couldn't pick up any women ever. They were losers. God kept them, and so now he's going to use them. He's now going to use them. They were losers, and now he's going to use them. Same with us. You know, I'm not saying God doesn't improve us as we go. He does, because we have the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts when we see how God has loved us. And so that comes out of us. It oozes out of us when you least expect it. None of us, I hope not, sit down and make up a self-improvement list of how to be a better Christian, whatever. No, we just live our lives and we think about God, we study God, you watch this show, I study the scriptures, I think about God all the time, I think about how beautiful he is, how wonderful he is, how gracious he is, and that oozes out into my human relationships, and I treat people well, I treat them with respect, I love them, and so, and, you know, you can only live out what God puts in. That's true. And the nine fruit of the Spirit are fruit of the Spirit. And you cannot work this up. You cannot decide to do this. But it happens with you. But anyway, so it's the same with us as it is with 144,000, as it is with the earth. And I'll ask you this. Keep going with this. I love this. This is a method of God's. When you look at the destruction of the present earth at the end of the 1,000 years, and you see the new heavens and new earth, how does it happen? It happens in a kaplowy, kaboom explosion. Second Peter talks about it. This current earth is stored with fire, and it explodes, and it goes into the ether, into the netherworld, and it's to be seen no more, and it happens suddenly. It's not a gradual, let's just let the planet evolutionize. Let's let it evolve. That's what the word I was looking for, not evolutionize, which is not a word. The word I was looking for was evolve. It doesn't happen with the new earth. It doesn't happen with us. It doesn't happen with Israel. It didn't happen at the disruption. Everything God does is sudden. Flood of Noah. Bang, there's your rain. Bang, you're dead. 40 days later, bang, you're in a new eon. Disruption of the world. The world was overcome with water. And so it's consistent. It's consistent. God's going to fix you in a second, in a nanosecond. You're going to be perfected. You don't have to perfect yourself. So don't look for the 144,000 from Israel. So there I was in Elmont, Michigan in 1993, the fall of. And I always wondered, why do these people lust after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, James, Jude? I think these are the most unspiritual books. Jude, especially, the most unspiritual book in the Bible. James writes to adulterers and adulteresses. Oh, we like that book. Love James. I don't. And I said, well, some people do. Why? So I asked Jim Corum, who was then, maybe he still is, president of the Concordant Publishing Concern. Never met the guy before. I go right to it. I shake his hand. Hi, Jim, by the way. I waited till lunchtime. And I said, Concordant believes, you believe, I believe, you believe, that there are no true Israelites on the earth today. That it is impossible for an Israelite to grasp his evangel, his own evangel, the circumcision evangel, to be true to it, even though there is no temple, even though he can't worship God, he's in waiting. You don't believe that. You believe that anybody who believes in Jesus, if you say Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, if you have a fish on your car, you're automatically in the body of Christ. And he sort of agreed with that. Yeah, well, you know, they kind of agree with that. And I say, well, why wouldn't it be possible for an Israelite, one way or the other, to believe his own evangel? And then I presented this scenario to Mr. Corum. I said, we know that the house of Israel, according to Amos 9:9, was scattered among every nation on earth. Is that right? He said, that's right. And then I said, so it is possible that in the United States today, there are many people who are probably descendant from that group of Israelites that were scattered. He hesitated a little longer at that point, and he said, okay, that's possible. Okay. So I was pinning him down as I went. And then I said, so there could be a guy living in Iowa who has no idea but that if he could trace his lineage, he would be an Israelite. Okay. Jim acknowledged that. It obviously could be. You have to go behind the European heritage, right? Because where did that start? People in Europe didn't drop from Venus or Saturn. They came from somewhere. They came from those peoples who migrated from the Assyrian captivity, namely Israelites. Anyway, so I said, so this guy's an Israelite. So let's say he has a disposition for his evangel. Goes way back. But he loves it. He loves to hear about it. He doesn't get Paul. Paul is like rocket science to him. Paul is Greek to him. Little joke there. And so, he loves Israel. Why can't he? Why would we really disparage that man and say he's just a stupid... Sorry, I spit on that. That's how upset I got about it. We say that that guy's just a stupid, ignorant Pauline person. Forget the fact that every time I bring Paul's message to him, he hates it. Every time I tell him there's no free will, that Jesus Christ died for my sins, he goes apoplectic. Every time I tell him that Jesus Christ actually died and that he wasn't alive for 3 days, they hate me. Every time I talk about a celestial destiny, they don't like it. They like the earth. They have gardens. And they like to landscape. They're earth-based. Why do we take that away from that guy? His own evangel. Corum couldn't answer. And then he eventually said, this is a smart guy. So I was kind of like playing chess with him, and I had him in a bit of a corner. He says, well, it is a gray area in our teaching. Oh, there you go then. It's a gray area. So I'm going to take that gray area, and I'm going to color it black. The other area will be white, because I'm a black and white guy. And I will say that we are surrounded by remnant of the house of Israel. And they're confused as hell. If you want to find the lost 10 tribes of Israel, you don't trace their national lineage. You don't trace their physical lineage. You look at their characteristics. They're proud. They're self-righteous. They are confused. They will use God for gain. They will use the evangel for gain. These are all traits of Israelites. They're stiff-necked. They're stubborn. They can turn a buck. They can turn a buck, but they will use God for their advantage, either for their moral advantage or their financial advantage. And they will lord it over other people. And they will be very exclusive. And they will be tickled to death that people are going to hell and that they have the exclusive hold on Jesus Christ. They own the franchise, according to them, on Jesus Christ. And they're proud of that fact. There you will find an Israelite. That is an Israelite. Here's an Israelite in Romans chapter 10. They being, for I am saying to them, testifying concerning them, Romans 10, verse 2, they have a zeal of God, but not in accord with recognition. In other words, they're all excited about something, but they don't know what the hell they're talking about or what the hell they're doing. That's zeal without recognition. They don't know anything. They're ignorant of the righteousness of God. And, verse 3, being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own righteousness. That is the scriptural definition of free will. Romans 10, 4. All Christianity is afflicted with this. Judaism is afflicted with it. For they, being ignorant of the righteousness of God, seeking to establish their own righteousness, were not subject to the righteousness of God. For Christ is a consummation of law for righteousness to everyone who is believing. So if you put this false image in front of you of your own righteousness, your own worthiness, your own ability to choose, then you have by necessity put God behind that icon, behind your little idol of yourself. Now, Israelites have done this. Israel has done it. But I'm saying that you won't find really that trait in the deepest in the bush of Africa or the Aborigines or any peoples of third world nations. They ignorantly worship God. They're very humble. They worship God in the form of trees, the sun, the moon, boomerangs, wallabies, kangaroos, whatever you like. But they don't have this pretentious, clean the outside of the cup hypocrisy, whitewash the outside of the tomb hypocrisy that Israel has. So you will find this trait in Christianity. So I'm thinking much of Christianity consists of members of the lost 10 tribes of Israel, that were you able to trace them back, you'll find that they are those people. And so is it possible that from this group we're surrounded by the 144,000 will come? Because you know that there are some of your friends who are more serious than the others. Maybe they have a serious leaning. Maybe they are more, you're looking at males though. I'm sorry. We're still looking at males. I'm sorry. Sorry if I offend any women, but we're looking at males and we're looking at celibate males. So any of your friends who are married, they're out. You're looking at single people. You think, God, I don't know that many single males. Well, think hard, who have not had sex. Does it mean, I wonder if they haven't had sex ever, or they're celibate at the time? Celibate at the time. No, I think they haven't had sex ever. And you think, how can these people be? Well, just remember this. They are. They will be. I don't care how it looks. I don't care how improbable it looks. God will do it. Because a smart guy like Elijah thought he was the only guy who had been faithful. Smart guy. He can see the field, Elijah can. He sees that, man, nobody's getting this. And God said there's 7,000. Elijah must have said, you're kidding me. If you had told me 7 or 70, I maybe could have believed it. 700 would have been a stretch. You're telling me there are 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal? The guy would have been flabbergasted, floored. And I'm sure he was. Likewise, I think you would be floored if I told you that perhaps living in your neighborhood today is a single male who is will be sealed as a member of the 144,000. He doesn't live in Israel. He doesn't have curly little thingies coming down on the side of his face. He isn't an arrogant bastard. He's a nice guy. He loves God. He's confused. There you go. Loves God and is confused. Are you confused sometimes? All right. It's no impediment to God, is it? No. He can overcome our stubbornness. He will do it with us, and he will do it with Israel when he seals the 144,000.